part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Shapeshifter is a segment that we use to talk to some of the leading people in industry, in academia, in business, and all the other facets of life. And this is where we try and talk to the person behind the person. And my guest today is Ubaba Uthulani Sibeka, who is the former Chief Brand and Marketing Officer at the Standard Bank Group. And he said to us, it's important to mention that he's currently in transition after finishing his tenure with Standard Bank, right? So he's the former Chief Brand and Marketing Officer at the Standard Bank Group, and we look forward to this conversation with him. +27 73 470 3520 is the number that you can use. Good evening, Mhlekazi.
Good evening, Thapelo.
How are you?
I'm very good, and yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It's such an honor to be
here. I know that my producers have been trying to hunt you down.
No, I'm so glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. Where do I start? I think the most important thing is maybe let's start by going back a little bit, right? Perhaps where you started, where you were born and all that. But when people ask you, which I think maybe might be an odd question at this stage, but when people ask you, Uthulani Sibeka ubani, what do you say?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
I guess it starts by saying that I was born in Soweto more than 50 years ago.
Okay.
And I have two brothers and a sister. By the time I matriculated, I had attended 6 schools.
Okay.
And of those schools, I must say that the most transformational experience was attending boarding school from Form 3 to Form 5. And we can come back to that.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed with many opportunities, including studying or working in South Africa, Zimbabwe, the US, UK, and in Switzerland.
Okay.
And in those experiences, I've learn to appreciate different cultures and just to gain broad exposure to the broader world. And as far as my career is concerned, I started in consumer goods.
Okay.
And thereafter, I moved to telecommunications.
Okay.
Soon after that, I went into insurance.
Yeah.
And the last 10, 11 years, I've been in banking.
In banking.
On the personal front, I'm married to one wife, Peggy.
Yeah.
And we have 3 elderly sons, Hutatso, Tinashe, and Mpumelelo.
Yeah.
And I love watching sports.
Okay.
Not very good at playing any.
Okay. Which one's your favorite?
I must say football.
Football. Okay.
And F1.
Okay.
Together with tennis.
Okay.
I also enjoy photography.
Okay.
I'm a hobbyist.
Yeah.
When it comes to photography, especially wildlife photography.
Yeah. Okay.
I enjoy motorbiking.
Okay.
And in terms of music, at least I don't only listen, but I also sing.
You can sing. Okay.
Yes. The favorite music being jazz.
Okay.
Gospel and a little bit of classical.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really amazing. I want us to come back to this extensive work experience in different countries, Switzerland and the US, as you're mentioning. But for people who may not know Soweto, over 50 years ago, kind of taking us back to apartheid years, how was that growing up in Soweto?
I must say that I had a happy childhood.
Okay.
Soweto was an exciting place, and it was a wonderful community. I have fond memories in terms of community and social life.
Okay.
Of course, apartheid was no pleasure by any means. It constrained opportunities for many people, as we all know, and it was evil in many ways.
Yes.
And yet, for some reason or the other, we all found a way to break through and gained opportunities, created opportunities.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we also had inspirational leaders that made it possible for us to believe what was possible beyond the constraints that were imposed by the apartheid system.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. And some of the challenges then, maybe socio-economic challenges that you could see around?
Yeah, when I think back, you know, there were a few constraints and challenges, particularly when it related to funds.
Okay.
I do recall, just like today, the issue of not having funds for going to university, was a common problem then as much as it is now. Even for me, had it not been for bursaries and scholarships, I'm not sure how I could have attained my tertiary degrees.
Yeah.
And also, I think for many of us, myself included, we had weak reading habits.
Okay.
I only developed a strong appetite for reading at tertiary and beyond.
Okay.
I wish I had started much sooner.
Much earlier,
Because we all know how important and powerful reading is. You can imagine not reading at a time when there was no Google. It was very limiting in many ways.
Yeah.
And the other challenge was just what I would refer to as limited exposure.
Okay.
You know, exposure is such a powerful thing because it gives you lenses through which you view the world, through which you approach life. So when the exposure is limited, in a real sense, it narrows the opportunities that you pursue, among other things.
Yeah.
And the last two things that I think were challenging at the time was that there was virtually no career guidance. This is a significant issue because there are people who were talented in different areas that they could have pursued and excelled in had they received the proper career guidance. Many of us were just, you know, pushed into conventional and narrow fields, whereas opportunities and fields of study were far greater than what people were could have pursued.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm lamenting, you know, the poor career guidance. And then the last one, which is still a challenge even today, is that, you know, people were conditioned to pursue employment as opposed to generating an income. There's a very big difference there in that when your mindset is about generating income, getting employment is just one of several options you could pursue. And as a result, you know, things like entrepreneurship and doing things other than corporate work was, you know, left behind. And yeah, so those are some of the challenges I thought at the time were limiting some of the possibilities.
That's that way there. All right. Would you say then being a Soweto boy and all those challenges somehow influenced the person that you are today?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I think coming out of Soweto, there was a certain vibe and a certain spirit of can do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was a bit dangerous because we thought we knew everything.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, I mean, coming from Soweto has a special influence that I cannot put into words. But beyond that, I think in my background, the biggest influence came from the time that I spent in boarding school. I mean, those 3 years, I was about 14, 15, and 16, went to a school called Bethel College in the Eastern Cape. And at that time, you know, that's when I started, you know, becoming independent in many ways.
Yeah.
But even before that, just having supportive parents and guiding parents, you know, was a big influence.
Yeah.
But if I can just highlight a few things that stood out for me at boarding school, independence from parents, as I said, curiosity and appreciation of different cultures. You know, when we got to boarding school, for the first time, I met a lot of guys from KZN, from Guamashu, Mlazi, and I met people from the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape. We had some people from Botswana, Swaziland, Namibia. So for the first time, after growing up for many years in a, primarily a Zulu and Sotho, you know, spectrum, I had, you know, all these people coming from different places. And I must say that it was at boarding school where some of my money habits were founded.
Okay.
Because when you're at boarding school with parents of limited means, when you receive pocket money, you don't know when the next one is coming. So I would make that 50 rands stretch as long as possible. And that was the beginning of my relationship with money. And then the last thing I would add is that boarding school, it was there where, I don't remember who, but somebody gave me an insight about how to choose a career.
Okay.
And he said, Thulani, look for something that you are talented in and gifted in. Secondly, look for something that you love and are passionate about. Because there'll be days when you don't feel like waking up, but your passion, you know, will make you get up. And then lastly, he said, look for something that is in demand and people are willing to pay for. And, you know, it was during high school that that combination of three considerations influenced my career. And
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. That's really amazing. Remember, for those of you who've just joined us, you're more than welcome to send us a question, a message on +27734703520. And my guest this evening is Ubaba Uthulani Sibeka. And we're just opening up with just going back to where it all started growing up in Soweto. You said over 50 years ago, right?
Yes.
So that's amazing. And you didn't talk about stretching 50 rand these days. You 50 rand is just for sweets and stuff like that, right?
I know. No, during those days, with 50 rands, you could buy a six-pack of burgers.
Imagine.
And still have money to buy chocolate for your girlfriend.
Exactly. That's amazing. Now, let's talk about your career, going back a little bit. Can you take us back to that first job? How was it? Was it an internship? Was it, you know, difficult during that time? If you still remember that very, very first job.
I remember my first job very well.
Yeah.
It was in February 1993.
Okay.
When I joined the Gillette Company here in South Africa.
Yeah.
I was an assistant product manager.
Okay.
Of something of that sort.
Okay.
It was one of the best decisions I made. I learned so much from a very early stage in my career. And what was wonderful also is that in consumer goods, from a very early stage, you are given commercial responsibility to influence pricing, product choice, and all the other things. So I remember my first job very fondly, and Gillette remains very close to my heart.
I see. Was it in what you studied?
Now, that's an interesting question because, you know, from Form 1 to Form 5, I chose commercial subjects.
Yeah.
I studied accounting, business economics, and economics.
Yeah.
And I was so sure during my teen years that one day I'm going to be a chartered accountant.
Okay.
So even when I went to varsity, I studied accounting as my major.
Okay.
But when I graduated, on the path to becoming a chartered accountant, you needed to serve articles.
Yes.
I applied at PwC. They were full for that year. And they said, we like you, but we cannot take you this year. Can you wait for next year? And Thulani couldn't wait. Needed to start earning some money. And I just, you know, within a few days, I asked myself, so after accounting, what was the second thing that I loved? And then I remembered that at university, I had thoroughly enjoyed my marketing courses.
Okay.
And actually, one of my projects was about the launch of the Gillette Sensor XL for women.
Okay.
And I said, I remember feeling positive energy about this.
Yes.
And then I applied for marketing jobs, and that's how I started my marketing career.
Oh, fantastic.
I've never worked a day in accounting.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So it's been marketing all the way.
It's been marketing all the way. Yeah. But if I were to do it again, I would do it the same way, because my accounting degree helped me with my commercial acumen.
Yeah, yeah. And then do you remember what then, in terms of your career trajectory, happened after that? Did you leave Gillette at some point?
After about 4 years,
I
was recruited by Polaroid.
Yeah.
Polaroid had just returned into the country after being away during the sanctions period, and they were launching their consumer business.
Yeah.
And that's where I spent 2 years before I was invited back at Gillette.
Yeah.
And when I came back at Gillette, I was responsible for the Oral-B business and the Braun business.
Okay.
Thereafter, I got a call. I remember one of the VPs was visiting from London. And before he left, he said, hey, Thulani, let's have coffee. And then he said, you know, I have wonderful news for you. We have seen what you've been doing, and we would like you to either go to Dubai or to go to London in a regional role. For me, there was no contest. It had to be London. And that's when I started my regional role in London, responsible for the business from South Africa in the south, Turkey in the west, all the way to Eastern Europe, including Russia, and further into India. That's when I was responsible for the Oral-B business. And then after that, as I said, after 16 years in consumer goods, I moved to Vodacom. After Vodacom, I then spent some time at Hollard. Those two were short stints. And I ended up in banking, first with Nedbank, and then subsequently with Standard Bank.
With Standard Bank. The move to Europe, was it a culture shock at some stage? Was there things that you're like, okay, I'm not used to this. This is in Soweto, you don't do this.
Interestingly, it was a different culture.
Okay.
But adapting to a different culture was not new for me.
Okay. Okay.
Because I mentioned the start of the journey in boarding school. When I finished high school, I had grown so much that I decided that, you know what, if exposure just 800, 900 kilometers away from home can do this for me, for university, I'm going to study outside the country. So I started my university education in Zimbabwe. I spent 2 years there, got exposed to more cultures in the continent, Kenya, Ethiopia, and so forth. So by the time I was working and, you know, I had been exposed to different culture and adjusting and being flexible to that. Because after Zimbabwe, I then proceeded to study in California, which was another broadening exposure. So yes, Europe was different. We were based in London, But our work was in those countries that I mentioned previously. It was not a shock to the system to adapt to different cultures.
To different cultures. So it was something that your body and your mind and everything about you was used to every
Indeed
single
it was.
Day, right?
Yes.
Taking on more responsibility, how was that like? Regional sounds like it was a lot of work there.
It was a time of growth in a significant way.
Yeah.
I'm forever grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah.
I was quite young at the time. I think I was 31 to take on that regional role. And among other things, what was interesting is that I was learning to work through people I did not have direct authority over. So I could use competence for influence in terms of giving strategic direction. But people in Turkey or Russia or India, they directly reported to the local GM or CEO. And, you know, they could potentially have told me to take a hike.
Yeah.
So building relationships was very much important.
Okay.
And also just mastering the art of influence, collaboration and partnerships.
Yeah.
So it was a huge, huge moment of growth for me.
Okay. I want to get into the Standard Bank one. Talk about how that journey was in just a moment. But I'm sensing that this marketing is something that, that found you more than you were looking for it. And it just literally came to you.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in this field for a long time. I've loved it. I enjoy responding to the needs of customers and clients and, you know, contributing towards the development of solutions that matter to them.
Yeah.
And of course, the art and science of communication, a lot of people, when they see adverts, when they are far removed from the act, sometimes they may underestimate what goes into that. And so there's many facets to marketing beyond just the pictures and the videos. We learned that marketing is not an end in itself, but it's one of the ways of creating value for the business and achieving business objectives. And it's something that I've always been passionate about and loved very much.
What are some of the challenges in your career when you look back all these years? What would you pinpoint as one or two challenges?
Of course, when you lose market share, it's not a pleasure.
Okay. So they look to you if there's a loss.
Yeah. So, when we're in consumer goods, I remember in Oral-B, Colgate used to give us a hiding.
Sure.
So whenever you lose market share, it was not good. But I think the key ones that stand out as challenges, I recall after working 16 years in consumer goods, exclusively for American companies. It was a big transition to go into telco. And I must admit that I underestimated how big a transition that was. And, you know, from working for a global organization to a local organization, it was a big change. The other change, somewhat related to the first, is that in consumer goods, marketing is the business. I didn't realize how privileged we were to be central to the business, where leaders of the business came from marketing. And then by the time I went into telco and insurance, I had to appreciate that marketing is important, but it's not the most important thing. You know, by the time I got to banking, I realized that credit and risk, they rule. And marketing, occasionally we'll get to that. So those transitions were quite important and quite challenging. And the other thing I would admit is that without realizing at the time was that, you know, when you've spent as much time as I had in consumer goods with American companies, you fall into the trap of thinking that the way you know how things are done is the only way. And it took me more than a year after coming out of there to realize that, you know what? Other companies may not do it like a Procter & Gamble, but they are successful because they have their own way of winning. And for me to respect and honor that, you know, was a growing moment.
You say jumping into the banking and insurance, you underestimated it. Were there moments where you felt like it was an imposter? You felt like I'm not in the right place here. What do I do when such things happen?
Not at all. Not at all. I was very comfortable that in my toolbox, I was competent.
Okay.
And I knew marketing.
Yeah.
What was different is that when you market a product, is very different from marketing a service.
I see.
When you market Gillette blades,
Gillette
blades in a manufacturing line, a million blades can come out of the same standard and quality. In a service, some days somebody's not feeling great and will be rude to the customers. So the variability of delivery is not the same. The amount of control on the quality and also the importance of connection, you know, is very different from a product. So there were things that were contextual that I had to learn, even though the principles of marketing were transferable from one area to the other. There were certain realities that one had to learn and understand in order to be an effective marketer in the service space.
In your bad days, where did you draw your motivation?
Yeah. Trying to think now.
Yeah.
Generally, I'm an optimistic person.
Okay.
And one of the things that I understand and have always embraced is that a bad day does not make a bad life.
Okay. Okay.
I still remember, you know, in one of the first meetings I presented to a board of a bank. I took a hammering.
Okay.
I took a beating. That was not an enjoyable meeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt briefly sorry for myself.
Yeah.
But I had to remind myself that, you know, Thulani, there are good days and bad days. You've just had a bad day.
Yeah.
And what was important for me is to understand what went wrong.
Yeah.
What can I do about it?
Yeah.
And also consult people who had been longer in the organization and so forth.
Yeah.
By the time I returned to the board, I was cruising.
Yeah.
So on a bad day, I think for me, a perspective is quite important. And also, because I'm a believer, I also find solace in the trust in God, knowing that things will be fine.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, with family, my wife, bless her, you know, she's a recipient and she has a steady ear for some of the complaints I would have and so forth and very supportive. So it's a combination of factors
that make a
bad day not become a disaster.
Yeah, because I think it's easy to go down that rabbit hole, you know, and like, oh, it was a bad day. And so you just stay there and you feel like when they say the board meeting is coming again, like, no, I'm not coming. Yes. I just had a bad day the other day, so I'm not coming. So it's often very easy. And I think I find that, especially with young people, you know, it's very easy for us to feel like, you know what, I'm going to give up and that's that. Some because maybe we're trying to break into certain industries. Some because, you know, we are in certain jobs that we think, you know, we don't like the jobs and all that. And it's very easy for us to go down that rabbit hole. What would be your message to those young people?
I think to young people if I were to give advice.
Yeah.
When it comes to career,
yeah,
is that, you know, if you choose a career that fits your competence and your talents,
yeah,
that goes a long way to building your confidence,
mm,
such that if you make a mistake, mm, and you are less than perfect, you are more forgiving of yourself.
Mm.
I've talked about the importance of love and passion,
yeah,
and also, you know, choosing something that there's a demand for.
Mm.
And the other thing that I would encourage young people is, you know, being comfortable,
mm,
with unexpected and uncomfortable opportunities.
Mm. Sure.
This is something that we often underestimate.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have missed out on great opportunities,
yeah,
because they want to stay in their comfort zones.
Yeah.
So from a career point of view, those would be my advice for, yeah, young people.
Sure. That's amazing. Standard Bank, that stint, how was it?
I had an awesome time.
Yeah.
And, you know, among other things, some of the highlights include being part of the team that, mm, contributed to making Standard Bank to be the most valuable banking,
yeah,
brand,
yeah,
in South Africa,
yeah,
where we grew the value of the brand by 26%.
Mm.
Another thing that I'm proud of at Standard Bank was just the improvement of the culture,
mm,
in terms of the brand and marketing, mm, team over a two-year period.
Mm.
Yeah, so, and just building a community of marketers across 20 countries.
Yeah.
That was an achievement because at the time it felt like there was South Africa,
mm,
and others.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah,
for me, it felt like lost opportunities, mm, because ideas, innovation, and excellence come from everywhere.
Mm.
So I made it a focus of our leadership team, mm, to build this community,
mm,
and, you know, instituting some tools, mm, to ensure that we leverage this,
mm,
to make brand and marketing a great place to work and a great place to win.
Amazing. Is there a particular marketing campaign that you look back and you're like, hey, it was difficult, but we pulled through?
I think the repositioning,
yeah,
of Standard Bank to It Can Be.
Okay.
It happened during COVID.
Yeah.
The worst time to reposition, yeah, a brand.
Yeah.
And there were so many challenges,
mm,
that I won't get into. Mm. But pulling it through,
mm,
during COVID at a time of anxiety,
mm,
and just a bad vibe,
mm,
in the country and around the world,
mm,
that was the most challenging thing.
Mm. It can be. Yeah, no, that's an amazing tagline. Was that coming from your department?
Yes, it was a collective effort, yeah, from marketing.
The marketing team. Okay, that's amazing. Transitioning, where is that at and where are you going?
I've not yet decided.
Okay.
I'm exploring different routes.
Okay.
It could still be in corporate,
yeah,
and in marketing, but it could be in coaching,
yeah,
and a few other areas,
yeah,
that I'm exploring.
So what made you decide to say this is it?
It was a mutual decision,
okay,
as part of a restructuring,
yeah,
where my role was split into three roles.
Yeah.
And it became clear that what I contribute and what the organization needs, mm, at the time have now become different.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Makes sense. Talk about money. We're running out of time.
Yeah.
How would you characterize, define your relationship with money?
I must say that I think I have a healthy relationship,
Okay.
I have... In many ways, my relationship with money is an extension of my personality.
Okay.
I am deliberate, I am not impulsive,
mm,
and to a large extent, that has influenced,
mm,
how I relate to,
mm,
money.
Mm. Any mistakes you think you've made before?
Oh, yes, of course. When you lived as long as I have, there's many mistakes that you make. And I think the ones that stand out are two. The first one was thinking that I can be my best financial advisor for investments. Big mistake.
Yeah.
I think I was more emotional than knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And I lost money in that process.
Yeah.
And secondly, you know, in terms of balancing the focus on reducing debt and investing in the stock market.
Yeah.
At a time when interest rates were low, I recall focusing on reducing debt when the stock market was flying.
Mm.
It was a mistake because the returns were greater in the stock market. I should have relaxed my debt reduction efforts and invested more in the stock markets. So those are the two mistakes that stand out.
Would you say those then became the lessons that you, I suppose, apply today going forward?
I mean, I've learned a lot since then. I'm not my financial advisor.
Yeah.
I depend on people who do what they do.
Yeah.
But also, I think I've been fortunate that from a very early stage of my working career, I appreciated the value of investing.
Mm.
You know, when I look at finances, you have savings for short-term emergencies.
Yeah.
You have investments for wealth creation, and you have retirement planning for the future.
Yeah.
And I learned, you know, within 3 years of my working career, I had started investing.
Mm.
People make the mistake of thinking that you have to have a lot of money to start investing.
Yeah.
But I think what is more important is that you have to defer some gratification, make some sacrifices, and we all know what time does to investment. You start early, you get the returns.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Talking about learning about money, finances, what type of conversations do you have with your children or had with your children about money? And were those really nice and comfortable? I know I grew up at a time when we didn't talk about money at home. And you're learning about money as you make those mistakes.
You're raising a very important point.
Yeah.
Some people, when they relate to money, they are avoiders.
Mm.
They pretend that money is a non-issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I strongly believe that money is such an important thing. I'm so passionate about this subject, by the way.
Yeah.
Firstly, because financial discipline is important to good mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
You know, secondly, few families thrive despite financial mismanagement.
Mm.
And then lastly, financial prosperity is achievable for those who are prepared to do the hard things and make sacrifices, make the right informed choices, and it's doable.
Mm.
So, yeah, no, I strongly believe.
Yeah.
So in terms of conversations with the kids, I think I mostly model and, you know, help them to understand.
Yes.
I must say, there's still a big gap and work to be done.
Yeah.
But, yes, we do have conversations about money.
Ah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
As you try and wrap up then, looking back, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I think I was fortunate that because I had mentors and, you know, I was exposed to certain things quite early. I would repeat some of the things that I learned then.
Yeah.
Firstly, spend less money than you earn. It's such an important thing because if you spend less money than you earn, then you have room for savings and for investments.
Mm.
But if you spend more than you earn, you have no option but to get into debt
and
more debt.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would say always plan for the future. The next month, the next year, and for young people, the next decades.
Yeah.
One thing that people underestimate and forget is that we are living longer. So you should think for a longer time horizon to plan your finances.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would say, make your money make more money. It's very important that you start investing as soon as possible. Don't wait until you have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Start as soon as you can.
As soon as you possibly can. Anything you would have done differently, just looking back?
I think looking back, I still remember when I turned 40.
Yeah.
You know, there was just that moment when I felt like, Thulani, you live too much in the future.
Okay.
Just live in the moment a bit.
Yeah.
So allowing myself to enjoy the journey, not just, you know, doing everything so that one day.
Yeah.
I will enjoy.
Yeah.
So, and this I've encouraged my kids also to say, guys, you know, when you are young, allow yourself to do certain things. This is the time to make mistakes. This is the time to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And be careful not to be too future oriented and miss out on the present. So that I would do differently.
Oh, that's lovely. And 10 years from now, I know that's like what, 60, 70, somewhere there?
Yes.
Where are we going?
10 years from now, the only thing I'm certain of is that the way I look at a career now is very different from the past.
Yeah.
In the past, I look at a career as sequential jobs.
Okay.
You do one thing, when you finish one thing, you do the other and so forth.
Yeah.
But where I am now, I look at a career as a portfolio.
Okay.
You can do multiple things at the same time to fulfill different needs and meaning for yourself. That's why I really admire what I've seen in the last few years, this culture of hustling. A lot of people now, beyond just their corporate jobs, they are doing other things, which was something I saw a lot more in East Africa before, and I was wondering if it would, you know, grow as much. So I think in the next 10 years, my career is likely to be a portfolio of things as opposed to a job, per se.
Sequentially. And any final thoughts to our listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I recap, both, you know, from a career and relationship with money is concerned, is that, you know, you have to keep learning to keep growing. It's because there's just so much change that is happening around us. And working hard is not out of fashion. Working hard, but also working smart. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Building relationships matter
a
great deal. So make sure that you build relationships. And I would say trust in God makes a huge difference where your efforts are amplified by the men above.
Ah, indeed. There you go. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
The biggest enemy is always time. But thank you so much for sharing your journey. And I do hope and pray that, you know, a lot of us who are, of course, looking up to you and our listeners as well have taken a thing or two for themselves that they can then apply in their own lives and reflect on, you know, and kind of way influence where they might be going. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been an honor and a privilege to be here.
Thank you so much. That was Ubaba Thulani Sibeko there. and talking to us about his journey in life, where he started, what he was doing, how he got to be doing what he was doing. And I do hope that it has encouraged you and I, especially young people as well, to just learn from, of course, our elders who have gone through the journey that perhaps a lot of us are going through. But really appreciate his time this evening.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.